Radio Prague News.
The planned new EU treaty should only apply to members of the Eurozone, Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas has said. Nearly half of Czechs are not affiliated with any religion, according to this year's population census. And young Christian Democrats have asked the authorities to cancel the registration of the country's Muslim community over alleged anti-Semitic preaching. The planned new EU treaty, which would impose tighter fiscal rules on national governments, should only involve members of the Eurozone, Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas said after meeting his Hungarian counterpart Viktor Orbán in Budapest on Thursday. The Czech Prime Minister is in Hungary for a brief working visit, consulting his country's position on the planned EU strategy to save the euro. The officials also discussed their country's potential participation in the EU loan to the International Monetary Fund. For his part, the Hungarian Prime Minister hinted they should wait by saying the situation needed the coolness of Czech beer rather than the sharpness of Hungarian spirits. Over the phone, Mr. Nečas also consulted the developments in the EU with British Prime Minister David Cameron on Thursday. The Czech government has adopted a cautious approach to both the planned treaty and the loan to the IMF. On Wednesday, Mr. Nečas said they needed more information before they were prepared to commit to either of them. The Czech Statistical Office on Thursday released preliminary results of the 2011 population census. According to the figures, the Czech Republic has just over 10.5 million inhabitants, some 330,000 more than 10 years ago. The figure has risen mainly due to an influx of foreigners whose numbers increased by 260% compared to the previous census. Ukrainians form the country's largest minority with 117,000 members, followed by Slovaks and Vietnamese. Around 6.7 million people declared themselves to be ethnic Czechs, while over 2.7 million people did not state their ethnicity at all. Only over 13,000 people said they were Romani, while unofficial estimates put the numbers of Romanis in the Czech Republic at between 150,000 and 300,000. The census also found that the numbers of university graduates rose by nearly 50% over the last decade. Young Christian Democrats, the youth wing of the Czech political party, have filed a petition with the Culture Ministry to cancel the registration of the country's Muslim community over alleged anti-Semitic preaching. The news website idnes.cz reported on Thursday the group reacted to a sermon delivered at a mosque in Brno in 2008 that recently appeared on the internet and which quoted a prophecy calling for the killing of Jews. The head of the country's Muslim community, Hassan Munib al-Ravi, said he considered the move a targeted attack. Czech tennis player Petra Kvitová has been nominated for the International Laureus Award in the category of Best Sportswoman of the Year and the Breakthrough of the Year. The Wimbledon champion and winner of the end-of-season WTA Championship said she was surprised by her nomination for the awards that will be handed out in London in February. The 21-year-old Czech, ranked second in the world, has been named the ITF's Woman Tennis Player of the Year and might yet win the Czech Republic's annual Sportsperson of the Year contest. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The end of the week will be mainly overcast with rain setting in from the west. Meteorologists have warned against strong winds that will hit the country on Friday and Saturday. Daytime highs should range between 2 and 6 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and it's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. In today's program, the lower house has passed the 2012 state budget, but critics have called it unrealistic. Then find out about a robot who is helping the elderly and learn about performances of famous film soundtracks by Czech music students. That's in Panorama. All that is coming up. The 2012 state budget on Wednesday sailed through the lower house of parliament despite heated protests from the opposition, who labeled it misleading and unrealistic. The budget, which anticipates a reduced deficit amounting to 3.5% of GDP, was tailored according to April's growth forecast, and the government has admitted that a significant revision can be expected this spring. Daniela Lazareva has the details.
Better this budget than no budget. That is the main argument to be heard in connection with a budget that will most likely fall short of around 30 billion crowns. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek, who fought fiercely to lower the projected deficit to 3.5% of GDP, down from an estimated 4.6% this year, insists that the set course will be maintained and a revision will be worked in according to more accurate growth estimates posted in January of next year. While analysts agree that Europe's worsening economic outlook was hard to predict, Raiffeisen Bank's chief economist, former finance minister Pavel Medlik, says Poland took a more prudent approach to the problem.
The Polish government has given us a fine example. Its government has been working on three scenarios for drafts, based on a 3.2% growth, 2.5% growth, and a growth of 1%. It has selected the middle one, which it believes reflects the present forecasts, but either way it has a big advantage. It has a budget for 1% growth, the details of which have been debated and published. Everything is above board, and people in Poland know exactly what to expect if the situation should worsen.
The Czech finance ministry, which has cut its growth outlook to 1% next year, is now also debating three crisis scenarios, including a catastrophic version to be implemented in the event of recession. The 40 or so changes, which should form the backbone of an expected budget revision next spring, include further spending cuts, tax hikes, including a unified VAT rate of 20% and higher bank taxes, a freezing of pensions, layoffs of police officers, and many others. Only some of these proposals have filtered through to the public, which is just beginning to feel the pinch of reforms and austerity measures that came into effect on December 1st, such as higher prices for medicines and hospital treatment, and bracing for others due to hit them at the start of next year, such as costlier food products, higher electricity and gas prices, and higher transportation costs, among others. While the country has so far managed to avoid any direct impact of the eurozone debt crisis, its export-dependent economy will inevitably suffer from slowing demand abroad. Economist David Marek says the country is not likely to get off lightly.
Simply said, there is a simple rule of thumb. If eurozone dips by 5%, the Czech economy would do the same. So it's roughly 1-to-1, and the response is almost immediate. So we can look at forecasts and actual development in the eurozone, and we will quickly see the same figures here as well.
Economist David Marek ends that report on the state budget for 2012 by Daniela Lazarova. Now, Czech scientists working in collaboration with colleagues from four other European states have created a robot that can assist elderly or post-surgery patients in a variety of situations. Commercial interest in the RoboMD was quickly piqued with a demonstration of the new mechanical nurse earlier this week, and the door to further development is wide open. Christian Falvey has more.
Excuse me, have you fallen down?
Yes.
Do you need help?
Yes.
Meet the home nurse of the future, RoboMD, who in this demonstration has just found its patient lying face down and is taking the appropriate measures. It may still be a long time before robots can offer mouth-to-mouth resuscitation or even encouraging bedside manner, but this new project means a large step in a new and, judging by initial commercial reactions, popular direction. Dr. Petr Špatenka of the University of South Bohemia in České Budějovice is part of the Czech team involved in the project.
The aim of the robot is to improve the living standard of older people which have some problems, let's say with heart attack and so on. The robot consists of three parts. One part is a sensor which the person carries on her body. A movable robot, which is activated if some unusual situation happens, and a control unit, home control unit, which collected all the signals from the sensors and make some evaluation. And if some accident happened, then this control unit first activates the robot, which goes to the room, find the person, and according to pre-program, the robot gives questions asking about the situation. And if the situation is serious, automatically the emergency service is activated.
Another major skill with which the small, rather friendly-looking plastic fellow is endowed is his ability to share his line of sight with emergency services. Through a video camera in the robot, paramedics can determine to a better extent what kind of medical situation is taking place. Certainly, a lot of this technology already exists in the form of various kinds of diagnostic systems, and an ambulance can be called with any mobile phone. But RoboMD, say its makers, gets rid of the need for having multiple such devices placed around a larger flat, for example. The robot can find where the person is and gather specific information, such as whether they are in pain and where. Additionally, the robot, in cooperation with the emergency services, can determine that there is no serious situation and free the paramedics from non-essential visits. The project is being done in cooperation with Austria, the Netherlands, Italy, and Estonia, with the Czech team handling the harmonization of the robot's various functions.
Our task in this project was to ensure all the communication between the sensors and the control unit, and between the control unit and the robot, and also the communication out to the emergency service. That means our task was to make all the programs for this communication, to make the program for the evaluation of the data from the sensors and program which activates both the robot and which also decide whether the emergency should be activated or not.
The first fully functional home care robot prototypes are already being tested in households in Holland, though in the absence of commercial involvement in the project, they currently cost a whopping 100,000 crowns. However, business investment will bring that price down many times, and it should be easy to find on a continent where there are steadily increasing numbers of senior citizens living alone.
Christian Falvey reporting there on a very cool robot helping the elderly. So good luck to them with the commercial success of that project. And never have I been more tempted to talk like a robot. Anyways, I won't do that. Next up, it's time for today's main feature, which is Panorama by Daniela Lazarova.
Famous movie tracks from Star Wars, Harry Potter, Indiana Jones, The Lord of the Rings, and many others. Instantly recognizable hits that have become golden classics. The Prague Film Orchestra, an ensemble made up of music students from the Prague Music Conservatory and other universities, has made a name for itself by filling a gap on the market. They perform concerts made up exclusively from famous movie tracks and are drawing crowds of enthusiastic young listeners. The 60-strong orchestra, which was established 7 years ago, now packs concert halls around the country and has repeatedly sold out even Prague's Rudolfinum. Its 26-year-old conductor, Jiří Korinta, says that it did not take the orchestra long to realize that famous movie tracks had enormous untapped potential.
People are completely crazy about them. They send us emails and call us to tell us what they would love to hear. And we end every concert with Star Wars and The Lord of the Rings.
Most concerts start with a well-known signature tune of 20th Century Fox, a grand opening for a nostalgic film evening, and take the audience through a medley of US, European, and Czech movie track hits. An audience in their teens and 20s laps it up. It was total genius. I could instantly place all the lyrics, and in my mind's eye, I actually saw all the given scenes evolve. It was very evocative.
It was perfect. This is the first time we have been to a concert of this kind, and we really loved every minute of it. It's a super idea.
One of the players, timpanist Jan Košina, says that playing with the orchestra is a big challenge.
Je to takový netradiční repertoár, který třeba ve škole se školním symfoniákem.
It's not really a traditional repertoire. Like, it's not something that we would find ourselves playing at school. And it is also not as easy as you might think, so it's a big learning experience.
Musím říct nic jednoduchýho, takže je to i velká škola.
Computer art has opened whole new dimensions, but few people would stop to think about computer hardware as a form of art. The Prague Gallery Kuskovo, the name translates as a piece of metal, is showing a unique exposition of computers that are anything but light and compact. But they do have one big advantage, they are perfectly soundless. The computer proper is handmade from copper, aluminum and steel and has a set of pipes that makes it look like a miniature church organ or something out of a Jules Verne movie. It is a blend of high-tech with natural materials put together by craftsmen. The components are oil-cooled and the computer is so quiet that it is hard to say if it is turned on or off. Its author Vít Klimeš says this is an important aspect.
Já bych to přirovnal k takovému pocitu, který určitě všichni znáte.
I'm sure that you all know the feeling. You've been working on your computer for hours, you finish up, switch it off and you hear a whoosh and then blessed silence.
A říkáte, mám hotovo, vypnu to a je ticho.
Blessed silence while working is what these computers offer and is the reason why the project goes under the name Lost Silence. Helena Klimeshova, who is the project's co-author, says silence is inspiring and we have long ceased to realize how much noise we work in and how disruptive it can be.
Když máte ticho, tak máte možnost jakoby proniknout hloub do té.
When you're working in absolute silence, you can submerge yourself more in your thoughts and inspiration because there is no constant buzzing sound to disrupt you.
Hloub do té inspirativní hladiny a neruší vás vlastně pořád stále šum.
Helena Klimeshova there. Well, and should all else fail, the computer contains volcanic rock crystals from Ethiopia's Mount Shukwala to fire your imagination. They're said to have magical properties. There is just one minor hitch, or maybe two. The computer weighs all of 50 kilos, and it costs around 150,000 crowns. Chocolate addicts in Prague have a new guru, Dan Sirovi, who makes his own gourmet brands flavored with exotic spices and flowers. I want to teach people to discover how amazing a taste of chocolate can be and give them a whole new experience, Dan says. Buyers can sample his Rose of Jericho, chocolate from the Dominican Republic flavored with exotic spices, corn flours and a pinch of sea salt. Heart Soul is made of Tanzanian chocolate and flowers from southern Europe, ideal with a glass of Chardonnay. Dan's workshop is like an alchemist's den or a perfume laboratory. The end result must be unforgettable, and to that end, each of his chocolate brands contains 20 to 30 ingredients. None of the flavors must overpower the original taste of the chocolate used, just complement it. Dan says that different chocolates have a different basic taste. Indonesian chocolate is ever so slightly bitter. Colombian chocolate has a creamy caramel taste. Chocolate from Central Africa tastes of flowers and red fruits, while chocolate from St. Thomas is more earthy, the chocolatier says. Dan has two special lines, chocolate inspired by fine wines, which, if savored with the appropriate beverage, promise a revelation for your taste buds, and chocolate inspired by music, a limited edition of chocolates, which is like fascinating melodies and comes in the form of a compact disc. Appropriately enough, the chocolates are available at music concert venues. And finally, the latest on the fate of an escaped kangaroo, which has become a household name in the Czech Republic. Vendelin escaped from a private owner last week and is on the loose near the town of Humpolets. The animal repeatedly appeared near the D1 motorway from Prague to Brno, bringing out dozens of police officers, firefighters and volunteers. However, the kangaroo is clearly not ready to come home just yet and is giving all of them a run for their money, managing to evade a search party of close to 100 people at one time. While police officers, volunteers and animal rights activists are doing their best to capture the animal, the locals have taken him to their hearts and are leaving food out in the open for him. Although it's mid-December, the weather is still fairly mild, and animal experts say that either way, Vendelin would have little trouble surviving out in the wild, even without the thoughtful offerings of the locals. Meanwhile, he has become something of a media star and is filling the papers with regular reports of where he was last sighted.
That edition of Panorama was brought to you by Daniela Lazareva. And that takes us to the final portion of today's show, which will be another edition of Soundcheck, our show in which you can learn idioms through song lyrics, Czech idioms. And this episode is by Christian Falvey.
Hi, and welcome to Soundcheck, which is going to sound Czecher than ever today, because we're going to talk about the Czechification of foreign place names, i.e. exonyms. We'll start with Austria, because after hundreds of years of cohabitation, Czechs have renamed just about everything in the country, beginning with the word Austria itself, Rakousko in Czech, as you can hear in this song by Šlapeto, Kampak na nás bolševici, where they sing about the Rakouský stát, meaning the Austrian Empire. Before the Austrian state fell into bits, Šmeral had always been a black and yellow Austrian devotee, but when nothing came of Austria, he sank his teeth into Bolshevism. Another song about the various thumbs that Czechs have found themselves under over the centuries. Czechs have an intimate relationship with Austria, of course, not just because they are neighbors, but because the Austrian monarchy ruled the Czech lands for nearly 400 years, and so the whole map of the country has been Czechified. Near the Czech-Austrian border is a town called, and excuse my German pronunciation, Rabs an der Thaya, and historically it and its 11th century castle was called Radgos, which was Czechified as Rakousy. The country lying beyond the castle came to be referred to Rakousy as well, giving rise to the modern Rakousko. There are several ways that Austrian towns are renamed in Czech. In many cases, they are simply made to sound Czech, like the Alpine town of Bludenz, Bludenets in Czech, or Krems an der Donau, which is Kremže in Czech, and gave its name to the spicy Kremžská mustard. They may have their meaning translated. The small, nearby town of Horn, for example, is Rohi, and Salzburg used to be called Solnohrad, meaning literally salt castle, just as it does in German. And then there are Austrian names taken from Old Slavonic that have retained their original names in Czech. The town or river of Svetl, for instance, was named Svetla, meaning a clearing by previous Slavic inhabitants, and it is still called that in Czech today. Austria's second city, Graz, was probably founded by Slavs. A grad or hrad is a fortress in Slavic languages, and today it is called Štýrský hradec in Czech, Styrian fortress. It isn't just Austria that Czechs have renamed, of course. Germany is famously known as Niemetsko because the people there can't speak. They are Niemi, or mute. The German town of Aachen is called Zachi, apparently a confused recitation of the phrase Zu Aachen. Lots of other European cities have simply garbled names in Czech, like Kodaň, which is Copenhagen, Drážďany, Dresden, or Benátky, Venice.
A nežli rakouský stát krutý, rozpadnul se na kousky, šmeral byl vždy černožlutý přívrž.
Some other places elsewhere are translated literally as well, like Munich, Mnichov, or a place of monks. And some are translated badly, like the German town of Konstanz, which was named after a Roman emperor, but is called Kostnice, or ossuary in Czech. The rules for all this are, of course, non-existent, and so it's recommended that you don't try translating place names on your own. New Zealand in Czech, for example, is Nový Zéland, but if you try to book a flight to Nový York, for example, you will be mercilessly laughed at, so beware.
Nežli rakouský stát krutý, rozpadnul se na kousky, šmeral byl vždy černožlutý, přívrženec rakouský. Když nic nekoukal z Rakous, do bolševismu se zakous, mučenicky šklebil tvář, vypasený proletář. Bolševismus hlásal svět a hned snělo zpět.
Soundcheck with Christian Falvey. I'm afraid that we're just about out of time, but don't forget, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's show, you can do so by writing to english@radio.cz. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at Radio Prague. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time.